All right, I'm ready to roll. 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. It says this, "Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world." Yesterday we talked about bears and lions. And we said that if you don't care to kill and deal with the bears and the lions in your private worlds, you'll never have victory over the Goliaths in your public world. And I want to deal with a bear today. A bear that's in a lot of your lives. I had a girl from a Christian college, a prominent Christian college, who wrote me an email. In the email, she said this. She said, "Brother Nance," she goes, "I have dabbled in a lot of pop culture music." She said, I call it my fun listening music. People like Beyonce and Taylor Swift and Kanye West and just others that I just consider my fun listening music. I have my spiritual music, but this is my fun music. And here's what she said. "I've realized in my life that Satan has had a stronghold in my life." She also goes on to say this. "I know that most of the students in the Bible college where I attend are addicted to the pop culture and to its music." The bear. Whether you realize it or not, Satan is trying to get his way into your heart. So let's pray. We're going to look at some things, and I hope you make a decision this morning about what to do with the bear in your life. Father, I pray that you'd bless. I pray that you'd help me to be right on target. I ask for your Holy Spirit. And Lord, this morning, I know how powerful this subject is. And so I pray right now for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that you would overshadow this building. I pray that you would bless this building and the people that are in it. And I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that you would keep Satan and his demons away from us today, that we might be able to have the mind of Christ and that we might clearly see and hear the word of God. And it's in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. May be seated. Bible tells us that we need to understand that there is a demonic power. His name is Satan. It's interesting in Ephesians, the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. The word "against" there in Ephesians chapter 5 literally means a face-to-face combat. It's not somebody who's fighting from a distance, but it's the idea of somebody who is in your face. And I want to remind you that Satan is the god of this world, small G-O-D, and that he does control the powers of this air. I was reading something just a couple of weeks ago that reminded me that music is very powerful and desires to control your life. Satan is a deceiver, and the Bible tells us here that there are many spirits, there are many false prophets, there are many who will try to deceive. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 20 says this, "And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone." Satan is a deceiver, and he desires for all the world to worship him. And I want to tell you that there's going to come a time that where most people will receive the mark of the beast, and they will fall, and they will worship Satan. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10 says this, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." Satan is leading our industry, and one of the great ways that he is leading the industry is with what I call the pop culture, with the music, with the media, with the movie industry. Satan is getting his agenda across like never before. He's taken advantage of the internet. I was watching a video clip of an MTV Music Award where Jack Black, many of you would recognize his name, as he came upon the platform at the beginning of the MTV Music Awards, and he says, "Before we begin this, listen to me, I want to begin this with an opening prayer to Satan." And he led MTV Music Awards in a sarcastic way, but he prayed to Satan, and everyone clapped and roared as he said, "Amen." I want to look at a couple of things tonight, or this morning. I want to just cover a couple of topics. One thing I want to say is this: is music all moral? You know, we often say this. We have this argument in today's society that music is neither right nor wrong. In other words, if I, you know, play a note, obviously it's not going to work, but if I hit a C or a B flat or an E flat, is that note on its own wrong or is it bad? And I think there's a lot of arguments out there. And I want to just say this. I believe that words, the letter A, B, C, D, on their own, are not good or bad. For us to say that the letter A is sinful or the letter B is holy, I think that's incorrect. But I will tell you this, that I can put words together and create a language, and with that language, I can either edify or I can defile the minds of every teenager in this room. I can take a color, red or blue and green, and with those colors on their own, we might say, well, they're immoral. There's no good color, there's no bad color. But the truth is I could take colors and put them together, and in a portrait, I could have a scenery that is breathtaking and giving glory to God, or I could put those colors together and make something pornographic that would be an abomination to God. Well, clothes are immoral. I want to tell you something, that clothes can either be something that glorifies God or something that defiles a believer's life. Can I say that music has the same power? We often say this, we divide the category of music into sacred and non-sacred. I think that's the wrong classification. I don't think that all music that is not religious or sacred. You might say, well, Brother Nance, it's secular, and if it's not sacred, it's secular, and secular is wrong. I think that's the wrong line to divide. I don't think it's about whether music is sacred or secular. I think if somebody sings, "It's a Small World," I don't think that that's sinful. Everybody knows what the song is, "It's a Small World"? All right, we're close to Disney. But I don't think the dividing line is sacred versus secular, because there are some secular songs that I think are completely okay. I think the dividing line is between moral and immoral. And just as there are clothing that is moral and immoral. By the way, the clothes that we're wearing today, I may not wear those to church, and I may not say, well, these are the best church clothes to go to, but I'm not going to say that they're immoral. Just because you got on flip-flops and a t-shirt or something like that doesn't mean that it's immoral. But how many understand that there's a lot of clothes that is immoral? And how many understand that there's a lot of music that is immoral? And there's music that is moral. There's music that defiles your conscience, and there's music that edifies your conscience. So we find here that there is a language to all music, and music has that ability. Now I want you to catch this, and this morning I want to come from a little bit of a different angle, but I want you to catch this. What is the message of music? And this morning I want to quote, I did a series in our church. I did about eight or nine messages on music, and really I'm just taking just some tidbits and compacting some thoughts. But what is the message of music? And I want to say this from Daryl Hall, who was of Halls and Oaks, a little bit older in life, But he said this as rock and roll was coming on the scene and making its way in society. He said this, the main purpose of rock and roll is, hear me when I say this, celebration of self. The main purpose of rock and roll is the celebration of self. It is a defiance of God's will, and it is a promotion of myself. Free spirits. Music gives you the right to live how you please. Music gives you the right to think any way that you want to. Music gives you the right to defy any authority in your life. And the main purpose of rock and roll is the celebration of self. Music is something that directs us to rebel against all authority, including the Lord Jesus Christ. To be who you are, not in Christ, but in the flesh. We often find that the messages of music from this world is often going to be sex, drugs, rock and roll, and rebellion. No matter how you slice it, it always seems to be those four things. And I want to quote another guy who said this, most of its rock music is used, listen to what he says. Graham Cray said this on the Rolling Stones magazine. He says, most of rock and roll is used as a vehicle for anti-Christian propaganda. He said, the very thing that we're trying to do is we are trying to send out a message that is anti-God and anti-Christian. Music is a vehicle that will allow you to live, to have the direction of your heart, to have sex outside of marriage and outside of the bond of marriage, to be free in your attitude, to be free in your actions, to be free in your rebellion. And music is designed. It's designed, and it's designed for rebellion. I don't have time to go into the beats of music and to do all of that, but I just want to encourage you and help you understand that music is something that controls your life. I remember a teenager who lived in a Christian home. He was 19. He was in his first year of Bible college. His brother and his mom were at church with the other family siblings, and he was working at for a guy painting, trying to raise some money. And when they came home, here's a good, godly fearing home, a home that just loved the Lord. But he told his mom, he said, I'm not going to be at church tonight. I'm going to be working late. And so when they came home from church, they pulled up, and the first thing that they noticed was they noticed that the house was just cranking with heavy rock and roll. They opened the door and they walked inside, and they could just hear the music just blaring. They walked down the hall and walked into the room, and when they opened the door where the music was, they banged on the door and no one responded. They opened the door, and here sat this young man, double barrel shotgun on the ground. Literally, he had stuck it in his mouth, pulled both barrels. His brains literally against the wall had now been shot out. And the thing that gave him the energy and the encouragement to take his life was rock and roll. Please understand, it's got a message. It's not a message to draw you to Christ. It is a message. It propagates anything that is anti-God. It is designed to bypass the mental and emotional state. It is bypassing you in what we would call subliminal messages. How many has ever heard of the company called Muzak? Raise your hand if you have. Muzak is a company that hit the industry pretty hard in the 90s. Muzak controls 90% of all commercials and programming and background music for stores and for the markets as far as selling. Muzak has spent a lot of money and a lot of research in this one thing, and here's what they found out. You know what they found out? Music controls you. As a matter of fact, they found out that if they can put so many beats in a second, that without you even understanding it, that they can raise your heart level. As they raise their heart level, they can actually raise your Your breathing, they can not only raise your heart level and they can raise your breathing, but eventually you'll begin to have motions. Have you ever seen it when a child walks into a store and the music's starting to go and maybe the child's 3 or 4 years old and without even thinking it, without anybody cueing them, they just start dancing. And they haven't even been to dance school. They're busting out a move and it's like, man, we got a little 2-year-old kid over there dancing. Muzak understands what music can do to your life. That without even you thinking about it, subliminally, the music will take over your heart. They can control your breathing. They can control your thinking. They have music. Chili's did a study and brought Muzak in. And the reason that Chili's has the music they want, I was talking to a manager about this, and here's what he told me. He said, our music has been programmed so that we can have customers come in during our lunch hour. We crank it up to a certain decibels. All of this has been thought out because we know we can control the way you even eat your food. And most of our customers during the lunch hour will be in and out of our restaurant in 25 minutes, and we can control that through the music we play. Wow. Satan's no dummy, is he? Muzak controls it. Get on the elevator, and they've got that elevator music. Go to the mall and there's a certain type of music. Then you step into a teenage store. Boom, lights are going and clothes are there. And, you know, kids are just racking it up trying to buy clothes. By the way, let me just say this. A clothing store who is trying to sell sexual and seductive clothing will play sexual and seductive music. They're no dummy. They know that the mind and the music will affect how you dress. All of it is programmed together. So you need to understand something. Listen to me when I say this, that music has a message and they're trying to get a hold of your heart. They're trying to get a hold of your life. They're trying to stimulate into you certain responses and certain feelings. They're trying to control your thoughts. Listen to me. So that they can control your behavior. And they're doing a pretty good job at it. So, if music is trying to control my thoughts, if it's trying to control my behavior, then I need to understand something very careful about music. Listen to me when I say this. Music has a lifestyle all of its own. The book Rock Facts, which is published by the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame and Museum in Cleveland, Ohio, admits that rock is not just a type of music. Listen to what they say in their book. Rock music is a lifestyle. Rock and roll has truly become a universal language. Rock and roll also refers to an attitude of feeling, a style, and a way of life. It's accompanied by a philosophy. If you watch a lot of MTV and music videos, you'll soon understand what most rock and roll people think of women, and it's not high on the charts. You'll see what the ideal lifestyle of a young man is all about. It's about cars, glory, worship, and women just falling and giving themselves to you. That's the lifestyle they promote. It's about drugs. It's about defiance. Hey, let me just say you something. It's amazing to me how that, with that pop culture music, it has trained our girls how to dress. It has trained our girls how to behave around boys. It has trained our girls how they should think about themselves. It has trained our young men how they should think about the opposite sex. It teaches our boys how to dress. Do you know most guys, when they wear their pants down and they're showing their boxers, have no idea where that idea came from? Guys, you need to pull up your pants. You say, well, everybody on TV does it. Let me tell you where this industry came from. Look right up here at me when I say this. And I'm not trying to be crude, I'm trying to tell you the gospel truth, man. When somebody wears their pants and they're hanging down and you see their underwear, it's not because they're cool. It's something that came out of our prison system. And it simply means that the guy that was walking around with his pants hanging down, showing his boxers, was nothing more than a male prostitute in the prison system. And if you're not a male prostitute, pull your pants up. Well, they do it. Yeah, they want to defile who you are. Don't you get it that music has a message all of its own? It's not about being bad. It's not about being a part of the group. It's not about being part of the hood. I'm telling you, they are trying to manipulate and to control who you are. So we find that rock music has a way of life, that has a dress, has piercings. It has brought in all type of things, from dropping your pants to skinny jeans. It is anti-morality, and it's anti-God, and it's anti-religion. It has its own authority. There is a loyalty that comes from rock and roll that's like no other industry. I want to say that one more time. There is a loyalty that is put into people with rock and roll than no other industry. I have seen kids, listen, let me tell you something. Young people will give up just about anything in their life except their music. It's almost like a religion to them. Don't talk about my singer. I mean, they'll die for their singer. They'll travel, they'll spend money, they'll support, they'll vote on TV. Have you ever seen an industry where you voted so much for somebody you liked? Hey, get on here and dial or tweet or send your vote and tell us who you love. Oh, and our society has gone crazy over giving their loyalty to people who are anti-God. Steven Tyler. Anybody know who Steven Tyler is? He's kind of a legend in rock and roll. Some may know his daughter. He was on a group called Aerosmith. Steven Tyler would say this about rock music. Rock music is, listen to what he says, rock music is the strongest drug in the world. I would believe that Steven Tyler is probably an expert on drugs. I say that in fun, but it's also the truth. No doubt in my mind that Steven Tyler has probably tried all of the drugs out there. For him to come out and to say that the strongest drug I've ever known, the strongest drug in all the world, is rock and roll music, that says something to me about what he thinks about music and what he believes about music. Are you with me, young people? And so we find here that music is powerful, and I'm convinced that many of you are probably listening to this and saying, oh yeah, oh yeah, oh yeah, I've heard it before, no big deal. But I want to just help you with something, that Satan is behind this industry, and you need to understand something, that he has one desire, and that's to destroy you. I want to show you a couple of pictures tonight, or this morning. The number one guy that has infected rock music throughout the century is a guy called Aleister Crowley. How many's ever heard of Aleister Crowley? There was a rock and roll guy who had a song called Mr. Crowley. Anybody know who he was? Who was he? Ozzy Osbourne. Ozzy Osbourne started out as a Plymouth Brethren, turned his back on God, sold his soul to the devil, in his words. Aleister Crowley wrote the Satanic Bible. The Satanic Bible begins with the act of rebellion, and the number one law of the Satanic Bible is this: do what thou wilt. Does everybody see that on the top there? How many's ever heard that statement? A lot of the rock and roll companies and musicians will put that on their albums, do what thou wilt. Do what thou wilt is kind of the, if I can say it, the slogan of Satan when he rebelled against God and would no longer do God's will, but would defy God in rebellion and would do what thou wilt. And so that is his defiance. And so in his book, Aleister Crowley was supported and is a big in our in the heavy metal stuff. This guy is worshipped and loved. And Aleister Crowley, of course, wrote the Book of Satan. He was run out of Italy. In his own writings, Aleister Crowley will tell you that he had sacrificed hundreds of children to the worship of Satan and was run out of Italy for that. Hey guys, wake up. Wake these two guys up. There you go. Go to the next slide. Anybody recognize this guy? Jay-Z. Anybody read what's on his, what's on his shirt there? Do what thou wilt. Jay-Z is probably one of the biggest promoters of Aleister Crowley and what is called the Illuminati. How many heard of the Illuminati? So you're not ignorant about this stuff, are you? You know all about it. He has a clothing line. He has a clothing line that puts out a lot of Illuminati stuff. Of course, Illuminati is a secret society that has overtaken our pop culture. And it is the great vehicle in which Satan is putting out his agenda. And by the way, he's winning on this agenda. You know what their number one agenda was? One of their number one agendas was this. Number one agenda was gay marriage. Katy Perry, who was worshipped in our last Super Bowl. By the way, everyone that's in the Super Bowl halftime show, you need to understand that that is an Illuminati concert. Only select Illuminatis are allowed in the Super Bowl halftime concert. Became famous when she had a song called I Kissed a Girl. Halftime show, she brought out a lesbian rap star. Both of them rapped about ungodly music. I've watched a video, I actually tried to bring it with me, of a video of Katy Perry in an interview who said, I tried Christian music. As a matter of fact, I desired to be a little bit like Amy Grant, but it didn't work for me. In her own words, she says this, and I quote her, so I sold my soul to the devil. The reporter says, you what? I sold my soul to the devil. In all of Katy Perry's music, you'll find Illuminati signs. You'll find devotion to Satan. She makes no apology for it, friend. And some of you are listening to the same CDs, and you need to understand where she's getting her theme from. You understand who controls her. How many's ever heard of Nicki Minaj? Strong Illuminati. Nicki Minaj would tell you that she has, listen to me, she, on interview, Nicki Minaj has said that she has a demon that possesses her. How many's heard that? You know, I'm not making it up. That she literally has a demon that possesses her, a demon that helps her and her friend that is with her. I was looking at some stuff last night. Who's the 22-year-old new pop star that's kind of come out doing some videos now? Is it like Ariana Grande? Ariana Grande, listen to me. Ariana Grande on November 5th said that she was no longer going to be a Christian. That she had been raised that way, but she would not believe in God. It was reported in an article in that same month that she woke up terrified. And as she woke up terrified, she saw in her room a black mist, some type of something that was in her room that was after her. She literally believes that she has gone to the other side. If you'll watch her music videos, and I don't encourage you to do this, but just in research, you'll now find that throughout her music videos, she has satanic symbols that have now been in place. See, some of you are following her, and you don't realize that she's nothing more than a decoy that Satan is using to get a hold of your mind, to get a hold of your life. Go to the next slide. One of the great signs of the Illuminati is they will do this. They will cover up one eye. Speaking of the all-seeing eye or the eye of illumination, they do believe that that's the eye of Satan. Another one of the things that they'll do in their videos or when they're in public is they'll put one finger to their lip, which means that they are sold to secrecy to Satan and what they have vowed. A lot of the colors that you'll see the singers come out in is white, which speaks of their virginity or their coming out, and then the next one will be their red. Whenever they come out in red, it's often a picture of them giving themselves over to Satan, not as a blood sacrifice, but as a human sacrifice, to do the will and to sing his words. The Illuminati sign. Go to the next picture here. This is Jay-Z here. You can see the Illuminati and the design and some of the shirts that they have. One of the new people that's really kind of grown in the Illuminati is the Kardashians' youngest sister. Somebody know her name? Kylie, where she just had a bathette put on her finger. I'll tell that in just a little bit. She just made a Revlon commercial, I think it was, some type of cosmetic commercial where she is standing and you'll just see her pointing up. This is one of the signs of worshiping Satan and giving reverence to him, where they'll do a finger like this up into the air as a one. One of the signs of Satan is the horns of the goats. You'll see this flash throughout some of the pictures whenever you see Hollywood stars saying this. Sometimes you'll actually see them come up to each other with the horns of Satan, and they'll shake hands like this. Go ahead and make that if you would. They'll bump hands like this, which means we shake hands in the name of Satan. Hey, Brother Nancy, it's just a game. Oh, no, not to them. They've sold their soul to Satan, and you're buying their music. And the words he's printing, you're pumping it into your brain 4 and 5 hours a day. Hey, you don't think Satan's trying to control you? You're a fool if you don't think so. Go to the next slide. Super Bowl. Everybody see her doing the Illuminati sign? Let me read something about Beyonce. I was shocked when I found this. 2003, Beyonce is being interviewed by Rolling Stones, and she said this: "When I see the video of myself on stage on TV, I'm like, who is that girl?" That's what she says. "That's not me. I wouldn't dare do anything like that. I created my stage persona to protect myself so that when I go home, I don't have to think about what it is that I do." The name of her demon, the name of her alter ego, the person that she allows to come into her is a person called Sasha. And you already know it. Why in the world are you listening to this girl when you know that she's possessed by a demon? She said this in October 2008. "I have someone else that takes over when it's time for me to work and when I'm on stage." Did you hear what she just said? "I have someone else that takes over me. This alter ego that I've created that kind of protects me." Sasha Fierce is the fun, more sensual, more aggressive, more outspoken side, and more glamorous side when it comes out. And it comes out when I'm working and when I'm on stage. I've created this alter ego. I do when I'm performing, when I would never do normally. I reveal things about myself that I wouldn't do in an interview. Here's what she says. "I have, when I'm on stage, I have an out-of-body experience. If I cut my leg, if I fall, I don't even feel it. I'm so fearless. I am not aware of what happens on my face. I am not aware of what happens in my body." Hey, I've never been possessed by a demon, but that doesn't sound like something I want to do. She says this. Let me. In the interview below, Sasha talks about the BET Awards, where she says that Sasha was full effect. She says this: I remember that night right before I performed. She said, I raised up my hands, and it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me. And I knew that was going to be my coming out night. I want you to go to the next slide. Go to the next slide. Here's the night she performs the Super Bowl. She has what's called here a ring. It's the same. It's one of the great goat symbols that they have. It's simply their allegiance to Satan. It's called a Baphomet. It is a goat that is supposed to be half man and half woman, which symbolizes exactly what's going on in our society where men are confused. Go to the next slide. I show this slide because this is an interesting slide. This is in Denver, Colorado, one of the great concerts that Beyoncé had. See, some of you have her on your fun listening selection. You better be careful, friend. She stands in front of the crowd. Thousands have packed the stadium there in Denver, Colorado. She comes out on the crowd and she says, she has a screen of a innocent Beyoncé, and then on the other side she has a screen of Beyoncé looking evil. She calls her Sasha Fierce. She says this: who do you want to come out tonight? You want Beyoncé or Sasha Fierce? The crowd begins to scream. We want Sasha! We want Sasha! We want Sasha! She takes a coin and she flips it. It begins to flip up on the screen. You can see the screen there as it flips. On one side is Beyoncé, on the other side is a Beyoncé with an ugly face representing Sasha Fierce. The crowd is screaming. Listen, the crowd is screaming for a demonic force to entertain them that night. Are you getting this? We want Sasha! We want Sasha! And the coin flips in the air and it lands down and it's Sasha Fierce. Go to the next screen. Hold it, friend. Hey. She said she doesn't control her face or her body when she's on stage. It's a demon, Sasha Fierce, that controls her. Anybody see that? Go to the next screen. This is no joking matter. I'm telling you. Do you not realize the prince of the power of the air and that he's trying to get into you? And some of you on your playlist have these songs going on in your life and you think it's no big deal? Well, it's just okay music. You better watch out, man. Remember something about the bear. Once he gets a taste, he keeps coming back. Keeps coming back. Well, I just listen, but I'll never act that way. Double barrel shotgun. Don't tell me you won't do something you never thought you'd do. Don't tell me you won't cross lines you never dreamed about crossing. Go to the next slide. Super Bowl. This year we had Katy Perry. I looked last night online. They broke the record. I think it was 100. It was either, I can't remember exactly, it was either 118 or 180 million. Never before have they had so many viewers for a halftime show. You don't think that Satan's taking advantage of the Super Bowl halftime show? Jackson, Perry, Beyonce, they're all Illuminati. They're all Satanists. Well, I don't worship them. Okay. You just kind of listen to their message and listen to their song and listen to their beat. He said it right when he said the most addicting drug in all the world is rock and roll. Satan knows what he's doing. Go to the next slide. Anybody see the salute to Satan? Anybody see it? Go to the next slide. Anybody know who she is? Jada Smith, Will Smith's wife. By the way, Will Smith is strong in the Illuminati. Go to the next slide. Taylor Swift. Please, let me help you with something. The number one top Illuminati that's on the scenes right now is Taylor Swift. Make no mistake about it. Britney Spears, all of them are involved. You don't perform unless you're a part of the Illuminati. You need to just get that down. Taylor Swift giving her salute to Satan, her horns. By the way, a lot of these, I wouldn't tell you to watch it, but I would tell you that a lot of times you'll see a black and white checkered floor when they come out. That black and white checkered floor is a picture of the Masonic temple. Any Masonic temple that you go in has a black and white checkered floor. It is a picture of man's will and God's will, and it's a picture of you coming out. Most of the stages will have some type of pyramid that'll come up, and you'll have them come out of the pyramid. There'll be a lot of satanic symbols that are there. I'm just telling you, we watch at it, and we scream at it, and we text, and we vote, and we don't realize that we're really involved in a satanic service. Go to the next slide. Beyonce. Giving another Illuminati symbol. It simply means this. It means the 666. Whenever they flash this, it's a 666. A lot of times you'll see this. How many's ever seen a celebrity do something like this? The eye of horse. It's the eye of Satan. Go to the next slide. Kobe! I want to be like Kobe! Yeah, and Kobe's trying to tell you what side he's on. I said, Kobe's trying to tell you what side he's on. He's not ashamed of it. Follow Jesus if you want to, but I'll tell you right now what side I'm on. Next slide. Anybody recognize that guy? LeBron! LeBron, he's trying to tell you what side he's on, man. Go buy his stuff. That's right. Go make him some money. I'm trying to tell you, he's not ashamed of his God. You're ashamed of yours, but he's not ashamed of his. Illuminati sign. Go to the next slide. I'm going to read some lyrics. From Keisha. How many know who Keisha is? Kesha. You can tell I don't listen to her. I keep dancing. I keep on dancing with the devil. I keep on dancing with the devil. I sold my soul. Ain't no turning back. I keep on dancing with the devil. You and I made a deal. And I won't read the rest of it. But then it says this. Your love is made of dirty gold. But I'm the one who sold my soul. So go ahead and take my hands. I keep on dancing with the devil. I can't escape my filthy past. I made mistakes. I made them last. I know you love to watch me cry. So while I'm yours until the end, a holy war I'll never win. So I'll keep dancing till I die. I keep on dancing with the devil. I sold my soul. It's a dead-end road. There ain't no turning back. I keep on dancing with the devil.
I'll be honest, I read that song and it breaks my heart. I truly believe she's pouring out her heart. She has no answers. Don't you get it? Don't you know what Satan wants to do with your life? Don't you know that he wants to entrap you, to make you feel as if there's no hope? Listen, I don't look at this girl, listen to me, I don't look at this girl and see fame and fortune. You know what I see in her path? I see suicide. I see drugs. I see shame. I see guilt. I read it in her lyrics, crying out for help. I was reading a guy who follows this pretty heavily. He was telling me about the Ariana Grande, is that her name? He said, never before have I heard in a young person's lyrics a cry for help more than in her songs. She pleads for somebody to help her, but it's as if she has no one to turn to. Man, I'm going to just tell you, some of you need to go home and you need to kill the bear. You need to come down here this week and you need to get your eyes open and you need to say, you know what? I've been letting them feed my mind. I've been letting them dictate my lifestyle. I've been allowing their message, their drug of rock and roll to influence me. And some of you have said this, well, it's just harmless. It's just some fun songs. It's just some okay songs. I mean, they're not really bad songs. They don't have like horrible cursing in it, so it's just okay. Then I'm going to tell you something. It's got a hold on your life. You need to come today. You need to come today. And you need to kill the bear. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed.